Welcome back to Monsters Among Us. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so happy you're here. If you are new, I'm Kate Moser, and each week we explore the question, are monsters real? Today's monster comes from Leap Castle. This castle is considered by many as Ireland's most haunted. We will explore the history behind this castle and discuss some seriously haunted tales, from the Red Lady to a sinister half-sheep, half-man elemental. Get comfy, because here we go. Ireland is a country bathed in blood. From wars to famine, this small country has endured more death and destruction than most. The ancient Celts with their pagan roots were killed or converted by the conquest of the Roman Catholic Church, and in the early 13th century, much of Ireland was under Norman control. Henry II of England had appointed his son Prince John the Lord of Ireland. This conquest resulted in construction of walled towns, castles, and hundreds of churches. The English wanted the land for agriculture and commerce. The church wanted the new area to convert and rule. English rule over Ireland was threatened by Edward the Bruce of Scotland in 1315. Edward, the younger brother of Robert the Bruce, King of the Scots, rallied Irish lords to resist against the English presence in Ireland. Like much of Ireland's history, this was not done peacefully. Edward's troops destroyed towns and burned crops. Compounded with the shortage of import crops in port cities, Ireland's citizens experienced famine and death. Edward was defeated in the Battle of Fairhart, and this conquest would later be known as the Irish Bruce War. The Irish people continued to suffer for much of the 13th century with the arrival of the Black Death in 1348. The plague arrived in Dublin in August and had spread to the major cities of Louth, Meath, and Kildare by December. Because of the economic decline and wars being fought, there was not an accurate record of the death toll that the plague caused, but historians believe it was roughly a third of the population within the cities. The Anglo-Irish communities seemed to suffer significantly more than the Gaelic-Irish communities. The native Irish tend to be more solitary and live life in the mountains, far from the major congestion in the cities, which slowed the spread of the plague. It is stated that the Gaelic-Irish community hadn't even heard of the plague well into the 1349. This leads us into the history of Leap Castle and the O'Carroll clan. Leap Castle's history is stained in blood and death, and even legends of its beginnings is gruesome. Leap Castle is located in Kildare, Ireland, and was originally named Liam U Bahanan, which means Leap of the O'Bannons. Kildare is a very small roadside village with the town of Rosscrea, an ancient highway stop and trading town about 11 kilometers away. This would be the perfect location for a prominent clan headquarters. They would be secluded, but close enough to town to get imports and supplies. The O'Bannons were a wealthy clan from Tipperary, and two brothers began fighting over rule of the family. Legend is that in order to determine who would be the chief, the siblings challenged each other to leap from a rock where the castle was to be built. Whoever survived the jump would not only govern the clan, but also rule the would-be castle. The exact date of construction is unknown. However, many people believe it to be built in 1250 on an ancient ceremonial site dating back to 500 BC. This date makes the most sense as it coincides with the Norman invasion and the need for castle construction. The O'Bannons wouldn't be rulers for long, though. They were a secondary chieftain clan to the Gaelic lords, The O'Bannons wouldn't be rulers for long, though. They were a secondary chieftain clan to the Gaelic lords, the O'Carroll family. The O'Carrolls were a vicious and domineering brood, fueled by greed and power, and who had gained notoriety for being violent and ferocious. The O'Carroll seized the castle, but once Mulrony O'Carroll, the chief of the clan, died without naming a successor, violence and carnage would soon follow, bringing with it a hint of the supernatural. Mulrony O'Carroll, known as the Great Mulrony, was the head of the O'Carroll clan. When the Earl of Kildare tried to take the castle by force in 1513, he partially demolished it. The Great Mulrony was able to keep it in the O'Carroll's name. In 1532, Mulrony was killed in battle, and his death led to a rivalry of leadership amongst his two sons. This sounds really familiar to the O'Bannon tale. Tadhg O'Carroll murdered his brother, a priest, in the middle of Mass. Storming into the church, he stabbed his brother with a sword in front of the family, and the priest bled to death on the altar. The bloody chapel is now haunted by the priest's spirit. He can be seen wandering the halls around the chapel and sitting amongst the pews. The O'Carroll's reign of violence did not end there. The family had an oblate built. An oblate is a dungeon that's only accessible by a hidden trap door. Lining the floor of the dungeon is a number of long iron spikes meant to impale those who were pushed into the dark pit. It was here that Tadhg, after poisoning 40 members of the O'Mahon clan with drugged food and wine, had each of them flung into the oblate one by one. Those who remained conscious begged to be thrown into the pit upside down, hoping to avoid death by impalement instead of breaking their necks on the cold, hard stone floor. Those that failed to die quickly faced death by starvation or, if badly wounded, bled to death. All of this was done so that Tadhg didn't have to repay them money he owed the clan to help in battle. It wasn't until the mid-1920s that the previously sealed dungeon was opened and a truly terrible discovery was made. Inside the oblate were the skeletal remains of 150 people, and it took the laborers 3 or 4 cartloads to clean the bones out. The O'Carroll's ownership of Leith Castle came to a bloody end in the 16th century. The daughter of the reigning O'Carroll chieftain fell in love with an English prisoner in one of the castle's dungeons, a Captain Darby. She would sneak him food, and soon the two developed a plan to escape the castle and elope. One day, they decided that that was the day that they were going to escape, and while they were fleeing the castle, they ran into the girl's brother, in the stairwell. A sword fight ensued between Darby and the brother was killed. And the O'Carroll's son was dead, so now the daughter became the heiress to the castle. The two later married and inherited the very castle where Darby had been a prisoner and started a new family. Captain Darby was a bit temperamental and became known as the Wild Captain. He had amassed his own treasures in battle, which he hid in compartments scattered throughout the property. The Wild Captain was later imprisoned for treason in Dublin, but was later allowed to return to Leith Castle. Years of imprisonment had driven the Wild Captain to the brink of madness, and he was unable to recall where he had hidden his fortune. As the legend goes, the fortune still remains in Leith Castle, and on certain evenings, where the energies favor the spirits, you can see the phantom of the Wild Captain searching the grounds for his lost treasure. With the castle now in Darby's family, our supernatural story truly begins with Mildred Darby and the Elemental. But now, a word from our sponsor, Anchor. Welcome back. Let's dive right back in. Mildred Henrietta Gordon Dill was born on March 13, 1869, and was the daughter of Dr. Richard Augusta Caroline Dill of Birchwood, Brighton, England. She was the youngest of 6 children, educated at Oxford, and afterwards set her heart on a literary career. She became a famous Gothic writer with the pen name of Andrew Mary, as women were not taken seriously as writers in her time. On November 6th, 1889, at the age of 23, or at the age of 20, she married Jonathan Charles Darby, 15 years her senior, and heir to the Leap Castle. Although she was small and young in stature, Mrs. Darby would prove to be no shrinking violet of a bride. She was intelligent, outspoken, high-spirited, and known to ride and shoot as good as any man. Shortly after arriving at Leap, she took part in an all-ladies cricket match, an event most likely initiated by herself and a few of her friends and neighbors. She was known for organizing amateur theater and received high praise from a reporter in the local paper for her efforts. I quote, "Thanks to Mrs. Darby's genius, the program was diversified and attractive to a degree seldom met with in provincial towns." However, the marriage between Jonathan and Millie was less than happy. Jonathan was frequently away, and when he did come home, Mildred and their four children were exposed to outbursts of rage, and all of the children feared their father. Mildred threw herself into rearing the children and into her writings. Millie had a curious obsession with the spirit realm and was known to host seances in the castle. Here she would communicate with the dead and, some say, gather inspiration for her novels. It is during one of those seances that she may have unleashed one of the most horrid spirits that inhabit Leap Castle. The elemental is described as one of the oldest known spirits to roam the halls. This primitive ghost's origins and its exact nature are largely unknown, and one can only speculate as to where this bestial spirit came from and what its agenda may truly be. Millie called this creature It, or the Thing. Her experiences with It are believed to be the basis of her story, The House of Horrors. The best descriptions we have of this creature are those given by Millie and an associate staying at Leap. This is the description as written in the Occult Review. "Suddenly, two hands were laid on my shoulders. I turned sharply around and saw, as clearly as I see you now, a gray thing standing a couple of feet behind me, with its bent arms raised as if it were cursing me. I cannot describe in words how utterly awful the thing was. Its very undefinableness rendered the horrible shadow more gruesome. Human in shape, a little shorter than I am, I could just make out the shape of its big black holes, like great eyes and sharp features. But the whole figured head, face, hands, and all was gray, unclean, bluish gray, something of the color and appearance of common cotton wool. But oh, so sinister, repulsive, and devilish. My friends who are clever about occult things say it was what they call an elemental. The thing was about the size of a sheep, thin, gaunt, and shadowy in parts. Its face was human, but to be more accurate, inhuman, in its vileness, with large holes of blackness for eyes, loose, slobbery lips, and a thick, saliva-dripping jaw, slopping back down suddenly onto its neck. Nose it had none, only spreading cancerous cavities, the whole face being a uniform tint of gray. This, too, was the color of the dark, coarse hair covering its head, neck, and body. Its forearms were thickly coated with the same hair, so were its paws, large, loose, and hand-shaped, and it sat on its hind legs. One hand or paw was raised, and a claw-like finger was extended readily to scratch the paint. Its lustreless eyes, which seemed half decomposed and looked incredibly foul, stared into mine, and the horrible smell, which had before offended my nostrils, only 100 times intensified, came up to my face, filling me with deadly nausea. I noticed the lower half of the creature was indefinite and seemed semi-transparent, at least. I could see the framework of the door that led into the gallery through its body. Most of the appearances of the elemental seems to be linked to Millie. She would see this creature regularly in the castle. One of these encounters are detailed in a letter from Millie. This is the letter. On November 25th, 1915, two of our servants, knowing the master would be late and that I was driving that afternoon, had invited friends, two soldiers from the barracks at Burr, distance the other side 6 miles. They came rather late, and my husband came home early, so the visitors had to be kept out of his sight in the lower regions of one of the wings, and I were unable to be shown to the center tower, the lofty hall. At 7:15, my husband and I went up to dress for dinner. My room in extremity of the house from kitchens, his dressing room next to me. Whilst dressing, I was startled by a loud yell of terror-stricken male and female voices coming apparently from the hall, and ran down to see the cause. My husband was out ahead of me at his heels. I passed through the corridor of the wing and into the gallery. On the gallery, leaning with hands resting on the rail, I saw the thing, the elemental, and smelt it only too well. At the same moment, my husband pulled up sharply, about 10 feet from the thing, and half turning, let fly a volley of abuse at me, ending up dressing up a thing to try to make a fool of me. And now you'll say I've seen something, and I have not seen anything, and there's nothing to be seen or ever was. This last speech, without pause, began waving one hand at the thing, end up by stalking back to his dressing room, still abusing me for trying to give him a fright. As he was speaking, the elemental grew fainter and fainter in its outlines until it disappeared. He never made an inquiry as to yell, what called us both out, and from that day to this has not mentioned the incident to me. I heard from our servants that when we went to dress for dinner, they had brought their friends just to show them the hall, when all four had suddenly seen and smelt the elemental looking down from the gallery. They all got such a turn, they couldn't help letting out a bawl, then fled the servants' quarters, where all four were very sick. The next day, two maids presented Millie with letters claiming it was necessary for them to immediately pay visits to their homes, and they never returned to Leap. Soon after, Jonathan and Millie would leave Leap for good. In early 1922, Jonathan got into an argument with his tenants, which resulted in the refusal to pay their rent and boycott against the Darbys. When events escalated to the point that shots were fired through the castle windows and on several occasions, and their garden was destroyed by persons unknown, in April or May of that year, the Darbys felt compelled to flee from their home and live with their daughter in Longford. We were forced to leave with only a few clothes, leaving all our precious belongings behind us, Millie later wrote to a friend. No one truly knows why they left in such a hurry. My thought is that the elemental was just too much for Jonathan and Millie's marriage. It was widely known that Jonathan hated all things dealing with the macabre, and he often belittled Millie with her writings and discussions of spirits. He is quoted in saying, "The only spirits in this house are in the cellar." Exactly when the elemental first appeared seems to be lost to history, but there have been vague reports of an animalistic apparition that has appeared since the castle's earliest days. Theories about as to what the thing actually is and its origins are. Some of these theories are Druid magic, sorcery, and leprosy. One theory states that the elemental was actually summoned to this plane and bound to the site by Celtic druids in order to protect the druids, the site itself, and the magical rites performed there. If you remember from the beginning of the story, Leap Castle's foundation was built from the remaining stones of an ancient ceremonial site. Such a ritual may have required one or more blood sacrifices, with human blood being seen as the most potent. Such sacrifices might have empowered the spirit, giving it the necessary power to ward off the enemies of the castle. Perhaps the elemental has become weakened and is seeking fresh blood to renew its strength and to maintain its existence on the material plane. Therefore, much like a vampire, the spirit may be compelled to seek out blood. Ironically, Ireland itself has a long tradition of vampire folklore and legends. Maybe that'll be for a future episode. Some believe that the elemental was placed within the castle by invading enemy forces so the ghost couldn't destroy the castle from the inside out. It has long been said that the perpetrator was Gerald Fitzgerald, the Earl of Kildare, the one that Mulroney fought and almost destroyed the castle in the process. It's widely rumored that Fitzgerald was a practitioner of the dark arts, specifically necromancy and summoning demons. And if this is to be believed, summoning and binding such a spirit to the castle may have been within his capabilities. Local legends say that the elemental is a ghost of an ancient O'Carroll who died of leprosy within the castle. The local folk reason that this is the reason for the decaying facial features and the appalling stench of decomposing flesh that accompanies the elemental's manifestations. No matter the cause, the elemental still seems to have a hold at Leap Castle. Here is a first-hand account of a brush with the elemental. June 18th, 2002. I traveled to Leap Castle in order to make a show for a local TV network, and this was my first time in the notorious castle I had heard so much about. So the show went well, but I wanted to try the UV on the camcorder while we were shooting. I had sent something down the old access to the battlements earlier and never went down. I climbed the stairs with the camcorder in front, the light from the UV allowing me to see about 6 feet ahead and no more, so I climbed slowly. I opened the Gothic-style door and made my way slowly down the narrow passage. About 10 feet in, I saw something move and I lifted my head. I could feel something was wrong, but I had no idea what. This time, with the camera dropped, I thought I saw a glow come from around the corner and then it went back in. I stood and studied this for a while and thought it may be a side effect of the UV, which can be common. A few steps more and my body was weakening fast. It was a strange sensation. Suddenly, the mass of white like mist raced around the corner like a bull. Even the rubbish on the floor scattered as it approached at speed. The passage was tight, and I turned to my left to try to get out of the way, but it was too late. I felt the pain as if I had just pierced under my right rib cage, and it went all the way through to the back. This startled me a little, and we proceeded to arrange shooting in the cellars. The audio refused to tape again in the cellars, and I felt really odd. I was sweating heavily and becoming very weak and drowned in dread. Right after the incident in the tunnel, it felt as if a hole in my chest had been punctured on a spiritual level, and my life was seeping into the stones. In order to describe it and let the reader understand, they would have to experience a large blood loss sometime in their lives. As they felt the blood drain, this weakness would become prominent. Other words, they were experiencing the onset of death. I was dying. Shortly after the Darby's quick exit from Leap Castle, the Irish Civil War had started. In 1922, Leap Castle was caught on fire and left for ruins. It sat abandoned until 1974, when it was bought by Australian historian Peter Barlett. Barlett continued to renovate and rebuild the castle until his death in 1989. 2 years later, the castle was bought by musician Sean Ryan and his wife. They continue to rebuild the castle to its full glory. They allow visitors into their home for only a couple euros, and there you will be able to roam the halls in hopes of experiencing paranormal activity, as well as listening to the tin whistle played by Sean Ryan. Leap Castle is known to be home to over 19 spirits. The most frequently seen are the Red Lady and Charlotte. The Red Lady, as they call her, is a woman seen wandering the halls in a red dress carrying a dagger. Legend has it that she was a prostitute imprisoned by the O'Carrolls to be used for sex. When she became pregnant, the O'Carrolls killed the baby with a dagger, and in her grief, the Red Lady picked up the dagger and plunged it into her chest. Knowing the history of the O'Carrolls, this doesn't seem so far-fetched. Charlotte was the daughter of the castle's owner sometime in the 1600s. She fell in love with a boy that her father did not approve of. Her father killed the boy to keep them away from each other, and Charlotte, heartbroken and hell-bent on revenge, killed her father. The next day, when at the top of the tower, Charlotte was pushed by an unseen force and plummeted to her death. Many visitors had stated seeing a young girl walking around the outside of the castle. Some even say they see her jump, disappearing before she hits the ground. I hope you enjoyed this paranormal tale of Leap Castle. When I make my way back to Ireland, this for sure will be a stop, and I'm definitely going to search for that forgotten treasure of the Wild Captain. If you like Monsters Among Us, be sure to subscribe for future notifications and share with your friends. Stay safe, make good choices, and say no to seances.